Meeting of incremental costs, paper eight, Anna.
Okay, so last paper before the lunch break. Agenda paper eight discusses the review of the committee's tentative agenda decision on the meaning of incremental costs in IAS 17. The committee tentatively decided not to add this topic to its agenda for the reasons explained in the November 2013 paper. We received three comment letters in response to the tentative agenda decision. The feedback is summarized in paragraphs 5 to 14 of agenda paper 8. We also received one comment letter outside the comment letter period. The feedback from that comment letter is not included in the staff analysis of that paper. However, all four comment letters are included in the paper, in the appendix of this paper. Two respondents agree with a tentative agenda decision not to add the item to the committee's agenda, and but they recommended changes to the wording of the agenda decision. One respondent suggested changing the wording of the agenda decision so that it states that there does not appear to be significant diversity in practice on this issue. We accept the comment that there appears to be limited diversity in practice and recommend changing the wording as suggested. Another respondent suggested that the agenda decision should state that the term incremental cost is expected to be applied consistently in the context of finance lease receivables and other financial assets. This is because the definition of incremental costs in IAS 17 in the November 2013 paper was drawn from the definition of transaction costs in IAS 39. We do not recommend making the change because we do not think that it is the ISB's intention to create a direct link between incremental costs in IAS 17 and IAS 39. This is because the term incremental is used with similar but not identical meaning in the different standards. Two other respondents disagree with their tentative agenda decision. They agree with basically what was expressed as view B in the 2013 November paper, that particular internal fixed costs could be considered incremental. They also argue that there appears to be diversity in practice on this issue. One respondent was also concerned that the accounting treatment would differ depending on whether an entity employs internal leasing personnel opposed to hiring external leasing brokers. We do not recommend making changes to the agenda decision in light of those comments because the committee considered these points in their discussion in November 2013 and tentatively decided not to add the item to its agenda. In addition, our outreach performed on this issue has shown that the predominant practice is to expense internal fixed cost. One respondent also noted that the ISB has not acted upon the Interpretations Committee's recommendation from September 2008 that common definitions of incremental and directly attributable be developed, and we note that the Board has not added the issue to its agenda. Consequently, we recommend confirming the tentative agenda decision as worded in November 2013, but suggest adding the word significant, such there does not appear to be significant diversity in practice on this issue. And with that, I hand over to you.
Laurent?
I'm fine with the outcome. It's in the wording of the agenda decision. If I go to the second paragraph, the second sentence, so it says, only those costs that would not have been incurred if the entity have not negotiated and arranged a lease should be included in the initial measurement of the finance lease receivable. Usually, well, it looks like a requirement or an interpretation. There is no reference to where does that sentence come from. And it is bothering because usually we point at what standards require. Here, we make a statement. And when we make a statement, what is it? It's an interpretation or it's setting standards. So I still question what's the justification for adding in that sentence. And I would go back to the recommendation that was made to you, saying the committee noted that in looking at IS 89, IS 89 says so, and here, similar meanings, it is helpful to understand why we make by analogy here, similar recommendation.
Reinhardt?
I agree with the end conclusion, which is not to take it on the agenda of the committee, but I was concerned with the apparent disconnect between the outreach that was performed by the staff in connection with the leasing project and what some respondents are saying. So I'm not sure whether there's significant diversity. Sounded like one respondent was suggesting it was significant uniformity in one particular industry segment. But broadly speaking, when you look across the globe, whether that's significant or not. So having said that, I personally would, the reason why I would not take it on the agenda simply because it's not really an urgent issue. It's going to be addressed by the leasing project and leave it at that, as opposed to getting into, is there significant diversity in practice, making some definitive statements as to whether internal costs qualify as incremental costs. That's my own personal view.
Tony?
I support where the staff have got to. I think that would reflect the conclusion of the committee last time. And I would be comfortable staying there. I think the fact that we had, if you like, a couple of comment letters suggesting there might be some diversity is perhaps inconsistent with the outreach that the staff did. So I'd be comfortable staying where we were at the two meetings ago, whenever we reached the conclusion.
John?
I also agree with the staff conclusion, but regarding the diversity of practice, I'm a bit concerned that there may be, I think there is more diversity of practice out there than we think. The other thing is, in the agenda decision, I would like to take out the sentence that says the interpretation committee also noted that there does not appear to be significant diversity in practice. When we state that, now in terms of preparers' concern, if you're telling me there is no diversity of practice and I'm using the other route, does it mean correction of an error? I'm the only one, so. I think there is diversity of practice. I would take that sentence out, and I think I would go with the agenda decision.
I think that's a point well taken. I hadn't quite seen it in that light, but I... Sandy?
You said there were four respondents. There were only three mentioned.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I mentioned in my tee-up. So we received one comment letter outside the comment.
And was that from an industry participant? Or
that was basically the last comment letter in your... That's Appendix 3.
Yeah, I only counted three, did I? I thought you said there were four.
Separate.
Yeah, there is a separate one, and we added that recently once we received it.
Oh, I must have been traveling already.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm happy to.
But it was was it an industry participant or was someone?
That's from the real estate industry.
And they said there was diversity in practice.
Yeah, so they basically took the similar view to E&Y.
Okay, I got that part, but I just wondered who it was because,
yep.
I mean, that's a pretty significant.
Yeah,
if someone in the industry is saying that there's diversity in practice. I actually had someone mention this to me since the last meeting and this meeting saying, hey, there is diversity in practice. Because I was more in line in the last meeting with what Ernst & Young is saying, but I feel like mine was being biased by an insurance background.
Yeah.
So I guess I was just curious as to who it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scott, and then we'll go to the phone.
Just to say I agree with the staff. I think this one is fine.
Stay long.
I agree with the staff bill and commendation.
John?
I mean, similar comments about that have been made about diversity. I mean, there is diversity in practice. I'm aware of that in multiple jurisdictions, which I think is in the EY comment letter. I don't support rejecting this item. I thought it should have been put on the agenda, but okay.
So you do not agree with the agenda rejection?
Well, I think there's an interpretive issue here which is not being taken on, and I think that there are people who believe there's no gap difference between US GAAP and IAS 17, and there are comments made in board papers that would support that view, and the people who have adopted a policy of capitalizing these costs have generally followed a US GAAP approach on the understanding that IAS 17 and US GAAP are the same on this issue. So I think there is an interpretive issue here, which is why I don't support rejecting the item. Okay.
Julie?
I would just add, if you're going to leave it in the vein that it's drafted, that first sentence in the third paragraph that says the Interpretations Committee noted that internal fixed costs do not qualify as incremental costs, kind of building on John's point, if that's the case, it seems like you would have to add in accordance with what? In other words, we're noting it, which implies we saw it somewhere. And so what literature were we looking at to reach that conclusion? It seems to call for that to solidify the view, if that's what's going to stay.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what Lawrence said as well. Philippe, board member privilege.
Small point. Why you make reference in the agenda decision to arranging new leases and loans? I know that the submission talks about loans, but if it is a rejection in relation to 17 only and not 39, I would not mention loans, because it seems to me that then we are saying, well, it applies as well in 39, which is a different topic.
Okay, I have heard one member who says, let's not reject this issue. Are there any who would join John in that view? Sandy. Then, subject to wording changes, the rest of the members support the staff view. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You'll see the wording changes when you see update for your review. And with that, we're 5 minutes early for lunch.